This morning, I want to tell you the stories of two men, almost exact contemporaries, and both committed ministers of the gospel. The first is William Ashley Sunday, born in 1862 in Iowa. William's father was a Union soldier killed in the Civil War, and William himself bounced around during his childhood, spending at least some time in an orphanage. He was blessed with athletic skill, and as a 21-year-old phenom, he signed to play professional baseball for the team that was at that time called the Chicago White Stockings. By then, they called him Billy. And in Chicago, Billy Sunday was exposed for the first time to that sin that is endemic in our world, including the effects of alcohol abuse on working people. These revelations and a chance encounter with a preacher on a Chicago street corner led Billy to have a powerful conversion experience. All the other things in his life subsided, and Jesus became his Lord and his King. Billy gave up baseball, and he began holding his own revival meetings. By the beginning of the 20th century, Billy was receiving invitations to preach in America's largest cities. Eschewing churches or auditoriums, Billy's advance team built huge wooden arenas called tabernacles in cities where Billy was to appear, adding to the anticipation of his revivals. Decades before Billy Graham appeared on the scene, Billy Sunday was the prototypical mass preacher. He stomped and he yelled. He employed exaggerated gestures and colloquial language. He moved millions of people. And he believed that the key to saving this world was for people to invite Jesus into their hearts to be their king. For Billy, this was an entirely internal affair. Jesus' kingdom was interior. It was the realm of the heart. In 1861, the year before Billy Sunday was born, a baby boy named Walter Rauschenbusch was born in Rochester, New York. Walter was the son of a Baptist seminary professor, and it soon became obvious that Walter would follow in his father's footsteps. He grew up and was ordained. And in 1886, the very same year Billy Sunday met that street corner evangelist in Chicago, Walter Rauschenbusch took a call to serve as pastor of Second Baptist Church in New York City's Hell's Kitchen. Walter's experience in New York was as transformative as Billy's in Chicago. In the Hell's Kitchen of the late 1800s, Walter experienced immigrant communities in sordid living conditions, labor exploitation by the industrial giants of the day, and government's indifference to the plight of its most vulnerable citizens. Walter Rauschenbusch went and he read his Bible again, and he realized that in the Gospels, Jesus spends most of his time talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus' actions, Walter also realized, actually transformed the real physical lives of the people Jesus met. Jesus set captives free. He offered health care to the sick. He overturned the money changers' tables, and he convinced swindlers like Zacchaeus to deal fairly with people. Jesus, in other words, is a king who came to change the world, not just our hearts. And the gospel, Walter decided, is a social gospel. With an evangelical zeal as strong as that of Billy Sunday, Walter wrote and preached on the social gospel, giving the new progressive movement of the early 1900s a powerful Christian voice. Now, I dare say these two names were unknown to most of us, Billy Sunday and Walter Rauschenbusch. But here's what you have to understand. In the first two decades of the 20th century, they were national celebrities. There were no bigger names. One man filled cavernous rooms to hear him speak. The other sold best-selling social commentaries. And both were absolutely committed to the idea that Christ is King, even though their visions for what that looks like were as different as night and day. So why do I tell you their stories this morning? Well, some few of you will have recalled dimly, or you would have noticed that our green hangings have changed to white, because this is Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday, we begin a whole new church year. Today is the end. It's the culmination, the ultimate Sunday before little Jesus baby New Year shows up with his sash next week and we enter Advent and we do it all over again. And it's not incidental that we end the church year with Christ the King Sunday. The last word is almost always the most important word. And for Christians, the last word is that Christ is King. Now, if we pause and listen to those words, they will ring strangely in our American ears. Like bazillion other Americans, my wife Jill is watching right now the Netflix series The Crown. And her fascination with the life of Queen Elizabeth II stems from the fact that the very notion of royalty is so entirely foreign to our American sensibilities. We don't have kings. That's kind of the whole point of America, right? Except here we are, those of us who at least claim to be Christian, in addition to, or I hope, before we are even American. And today we say that Christ is King. What in the world do we mean by that? The options are those of those contemporary Christian titans, Billy Sunday and Walter Rauschenbusch. Though they lived 100 years ago, their distinctive approaches still drive our understanding and our thinking today. Both bent the knee to Jesus as King, but their understandings of what that entailed were very different. In one sermon, which incredibly is available on YouTube, Billy Sunday says that he will not rest until, quote, this old world is bound to the cross of Jesus Christ by the golden chains of love. But it is clear that for Billy, Jesus' reign is interior to the human heart. Throughout his career, he was criticized, as Billy Graham would sometimes later be criticized, for having as his close friends men like John D. Rockefeller Sr. And while encouraging such industrial barons to place their souls under the reign of Christ, Billy's encouragement did not translate into advice about changing the way they did business or laboring to better the lives of suffering people. Billy Sunday's message is an entirely personal, not a public one. He spoke to individual hearts in hope that they would become subject to Jesus the King. If Billy Sunday hoped for societal change at all, he assumed, I suppose, that the subjugation of the heart would somehow, mysteriously, eventually lead to some social change. But overt Christian social action, it was absent from his religious understanding. Walter Rauschenbusch, by contrast, he was the original social justice warrior. For him, Christ's kingship was not primarily of the heart. He spoke very little about what happens to us internally. It was instead about the outside world. And in his great work, his last great work, A Theology for the Social Gospel, Walter Rauschenbusch states the hope that with Christ as King, and through the concrete social actions of Christ's subjects, that the very kingdom of God would begin to emerge in our world. Injustice and suffering and want would be overcome. And that requires, he said, that the subjects of Jesus, first and foremost, speak and act in the world boldly for social change. But you have to know, Walter Rauschenbusch was criticized too. And in his case, there were those who thought that he simply co-opted the gospel to undergird a progressive political agenda. So, Christ's kingship as a matter of ruling the heart, or as a charge to social change, which is it? Well, the epistle lesson today, which Mark read so ably and well, is the great Christ hymn from Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And in it, Paul says to us that Christ has, quote, rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It goes on to tell us what that means. Quote, in Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Christ and for Christ, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Well, the great biblical scholar and Anglican bishop, N.T. Wright, warns against what I'm calling the Billy Sunday Walter Rauschenbusch choice. On the Billy Sunday side, N.T. Wright says, quote, Christians cry, we want a religious leader, not a king. We want someone to save our souls, not rule our world. But of the Rauschenbusch perspective, Wright equally warns, quote, if we want a king, someone to take charge of our world, what we really mean is that we want someone to implement the policies that we already embrace. But in Colossians, St. Paul is clear and unequivocal that both of these perspectives are partial and incomplete, if not downright wrong. Jesus' kingship is not only about social action. I think Episcopalians need to hear this once in a while. Jesus' kingship is not only about social action. It is about things visible and invisible. And that most certainly includes the dispositions of our hearts. Being subjects of Christ the King means nothing less than crucifying our own desires, our own loves, our own pursuits in favor of Christ's own. It absolutely includes those moments when we are driven to our knees as before a Lord and King to say, not my will, but yours. Live in me. Jesus' kingship is certainly a matter of the converted heart. But it's not only that. Paul says that thrones and dominions and rulers and powers are all within the bounds of Christ's kingdom. In other words, if anyone leads in ways that are contrary to the love and grace of God and of God's care for all of God's children, then as subjects of Jesus, we are required to serve Christ as King over any earthly leader. and we are compelled by Christ our King to speak out and to act out in the world for Christ's love, challenging power, challenging the structures of society, declaring that God's kingdom of love supersedes all earthly kingdoms. In other words, Billy Sunday and Walter Rauschenbusch are two equally essential sides of the same coin. They're doppelgangers, in addition to being exact contemporaries. We need them both as faithful witnesses to Christ the King. When we turn our hearts to Jesus and we allow His heart to become our own, and when we then live and act in the world in favor of signs that His reign is breaking in, then Christ really does become King. And for those of us who are His subjects, in Him, all things hold together. Amen.